plenty of individuals who want to believe, but there's some sort of hurdle or struggle that they find themselves trying to overcome, and it's keeping them from developing or deepening their relationship with God. Last week, we spent some time talking about on-demand God, and I wonder if there are a number of individuals who want to believe in God, but the picture that they have of who God is somehow distorted. Last week, we talked about on-demand God, and this idea that there are times when we pray for these things, we ask for these things. God, would you heal this broken situation? God, would you heal this loved one? And he doesn't do it, and we go, how can we believe in a God that isn't going to do the things that I ask for? Well, last week, we were reminded that on-demand God does not exist. We were also reminded that God's ways are always loving, that his ways are always higher, that his presence is always enough. Sometimes we struggle with this idea of wanting to believe, but in this on-demand God, when God doesn't do the things that I ask for that I think he should do, well, then some of us conclude that God isn't real, he isn't powerful, he isn't good, or he just doesn't care. And so last week, we spent some time talking about that hurdle that some of us have, or perhaps you know individuals who are wrestling with that idea of this God who they think is on demand, and yet. This morning, we're going to talk about what I'm calling the God of all the feels. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again because you have brought us here to this place, and we pray that you would help us to just continue to be present with you. We pray and we trust. We're reminded last week that your presence is always enough. We believe that you are faithful and that you are present. And so we pray that you would help us just to be aware of, to be sensitive to your presence. And if that means that even if for a moment you might help us to be able to set aside the distractions that maybe are happening around us in this space or the last week or the week ahead, and we need to hear your voice. And so we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be open to hearing from you. And so, Lord, I ask that the words that I would speak would not be my own, but yours, we pray. Amen. All right, let me know if this has ever happened to you. You went to go jump into Scripture, you went to open the Bible, and just nothing happens, right? You go and you're kind of expecting this thing, and you crack open the Word, and it's just kind of, it's boring. It's dead. Nothing really happens there. Or maybe you've had this experience where you've been in a worship setting and you see some people, you know, raising their hands in worship. We don't do that a ton here at Gateway. I think we need to kind of do that a little bit more. So, you know, feel free that if that's a thing that you want to do as you worship, you know that, go for that. But maybe you've been in a worship experience where you see other people, you know, they're raising their hand in worship, or they even are brought to tears, and you're kind of, clearly they're obviously feeling the presence of God, and you're like, I got nothing. I mean, I just kind of feel numb. Some of you are like, yep, that's me. Like, you're just kind of, I don't know. Or maybe when you go to pray, and you're like, you go to God in prayer, and you just don't feel anything. You don't feel God. I want to believe, but I don't feel anything. I want to believe, but where are all the feels that come with believing in God? We want a God of all the feels, but since we don't hear from God, since we can't see God, or we can't feel God, then how can I believe in God? Have you ever had this special friend that tells you about how they were in the parking lot, and they were like, I just prayed to God, and then all of a sudden a light shone down from heaven on this parking spot, and God just opened up this parking spot for me. And then while I was pulling into the parking spot, God also showed me that my spouse got a raise at their work, and our child made the honor roll. And you were like, yeah. And I had to walk like a mile and a half because God didn't open a parking spot for me. And my spouse just got laid off from work. And our kid made the frequent flyer detention team, right? where you're just like, I don't understand. I'm trying to do all the things that I look at your life, I look at mine, and we're friends, and I see and I know, and I'm trying to do all the same things, and I just don't have the feels. Like, what am I missing? What am I doing wrong? Question for you. I think I might actually make you raise your hand if you're willing to. I'm going to like run over to each of you and like raise your hand. Last service they did, so we'll see. How many of you, if you're willing to raise your hand, how many of you have ever felt the presence of God? Okay, so a number of you. Some of you are like, no. Question. How did you know? How did you know that you felt the presence of God? How did you know that, in fact, it was the presence of God? Was it a tingly feeling with some goosebumps? Maybe there were some tears, or maybe there was just an overwhelming sense of peace that you were like, yeah, surely that had to have been God. And of course, God's presence can give us those tingly feelings, right? But so can sitting next to that special someone. Surely God's presence can move us to tears, but also that video that your friend posted on Facebook that you watch and you're like, those can also move us to tears. God's presence can surely bring peace in our lives, but so can some soft lighting and some candles, or perhaps maybe a walk through nature. How do you know that what you're feeling is in fact the presence of God? Here's another question, maybe the same coin, just on the other side. What happens when you don't feel God's presence? Maybe this morning, or maybe in the last couple hours, days, weeks, months, years, you have not felt God. Whose fault is that? Is that God's fault? Is it your fault? Is it my fault? You know, I came to church and Matt, you just didn't really say the thing I needed to hear, or kind of made me feel uncomfortable, or, you know, you wore flip-flops again. Nope. Was it Andrew's fault and the band? Oh, they just didn't play my song. I didn't feel God. You guys should have played my song. Oh, that hymn they played, you know, they didn't play it like the way I know it. And so I didn't feel God's presence. What happens? Why? Is it God's fault? Is it your fault? Is it my fault? If nothing else this morning, I would like you to hear this and be encouraged by this. If you don't always feel the presence of God, then be encouraged to know that you are not alone. If you don't always feel the presence of God in your life, you are not alone. I hope that you would be encouraged by that. The psalmist writes in Psalm 88, "But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me, and why do you hide your face from me?" The Psalms are accredited to a guy named David, who God says is a man after his own heart. And yet David cries out, "God, why don't I feel you? I cry to you, and yet you don't show up. I don't sense you, I don't feel you, I don't see you." If you do not feel the presence of God always in your life, you are not alone. Jesus on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, like God incarnate, a part of God, doing God's stuff on the cross, cries out to God, "God, where are you? I don't feel you right now." If you don't always feel the presence of God in your life, be encouraged to know that you are not alone. So why might be some of the reasons that we don't feel God? So a couple thoughts. First one is this, for taking notes. Maybe one of the reasons why we don't always feel God is because we are over-sensationalizing the whole thing. John chapter 6, you'll see the words on the screen. So this group of, this crowd is there with Jesus, and they say to him, you know, okay, so they ask Jesus, "What sign will you give that we may see it and believe you?" What are you going to do? Jesus, do something. They go on. "Our ancestors back in the day," They ate manna, they ate bread in the wilderness. And guess where it came from? God brought it from heaven. Jesus, give us a sign. Perhaps one of the reasons why we don't always feel God is because we are over-sensationalizing our relationship with God. That we're kind of, and maybe in our own, maybe you've never really overtly, and maybe you have, asked God for a sign. God, give me the sign for, right? Open the Bible, you threw the Bible on the table, and you're like, okay, God, tell me what to do. And you were looking for the words to jump out and say, thou shalt take this job. Thou shalt move to this place. Thou shalt put your child into this school, right? We're asking for some sort of sign. We've over-sensationalized this thing, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why we don't feel God. We're looking for the angel to show up and be like, go this way. Have you ever had those times where you were expecting God to give you all the feels and you didn't feel anything? Maybe it was a retreat that you went on and it was somebody said, you got to go on this retreat. It's going to change your life. And you're like, I don't really want to go. But they just, that really persistent special friend, right? It was like, you got to go on this retreat. You got to go on this retreat. And you go. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go. And everybody says, it's going to change your life. And they even have a time at the end of the 2 or 3 days where where they schedule in the agenda or the itinerary of the retreat, where you'll have the opportunity to stand up in front of everyone and share how much your life has changed, how God has changed your life in the last 2 to 3 days. Maybe it was a retreat that you went on. Maybe it was a mission trip where you had the opportunity to serve and you went and built this house, or you painted this room, or you served in a soup kitchen, or maybe it was you did some kind of children's programming for the community, and you were expecting God to give you all the feels, and you went and did this thing, and you got nothing. You told me that if I went on this retreat, it was going to change my life, and I didn't feel anything. I was expecting God to give me all these feels. I went on this mission trip to go and serve, to be out of my element, and nothing. And then you go, what's wrong with me? Am I doing this wrong? Am I doing God wrong? Perhaps we've over-sensationalized this thing. Sometimes, as a number of you even raise your hand, sometimes you feel God. And a lot of times you don't. Thankfully, feelings are not the only evidence of God with us. If we always felt God, then we would not need faith. If God was always felt, then we would probably, there's the potential, I don't know this, but there might be the potential where we go, okay, I kind of been there, done that, okay, on to the next thing, keep going. But perhaps one of the reasons why we don't feel God is because sometimes we over-sensationalize the thing and make it all about feelings. I mean, my job is to deal with stuff of God. And most of my days are pretty normal, ordinary days where I don't have the tinglies, I don't have the goosebumps, I'm not brought to tears. It's just like many of your days, a normal, ordinary day. But that does not mean that God is not present with us. I'm wondering if it's possible that we've distorted our understanding of God to make it all about feelings, when in fact it's so much more. Now, having said that, emotions are important. God has created us to be emotional beings. Clearly that is a part of who God has designed us to be, but not just solely emotions. Now, and that might be another conversation for another day, because I believe, and I'd have to think about this a little bit more, but I believe that human emotions are one of the easiest things to manipulate and can be one of the quickest things to deceive ourselves. And the church has done a pretty good job of cornering that market. I mean, it's not an unknown strategy, right, for marketing. If our emotions are tapped into by some product or brand or church experience that we're, it draws us into this thing, right? And the church has done a really great job at times, and it can be a very positive thing, and other times maybe not so much, of using emotions to kind of create a certain reaction or response. And that, again, that's maybe another conversation for another day. But one of the reasons why we might not always feel God is we over-sensationalize the thing. Second thought, if you're taking notes, perhaps one of the reasons why we don't always feel God is because our hearts have become hardened. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is speaking, and he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." There's the possibility that you are not feeling the presence of God in your life because your heart has become hardened. Sin has a way of separating and breaking fellowship. Not just in our relationship with God. So sin has a way of breaking my relationship and my fellowship to God. I believe that it also, sin in our lives, has a way of breaking fellowship with each other. And so if we begin to, or continue to, I should say, live with ongoing sin in our life, when we've kind of gotten to the point where we're sort of comfortable with it and we continue to live in it, we're not repenting of it, we're not trying to deal with it and make it go away, that over time, it calcifies our heart. Over time, our heart becomes hardened to the things of God. Picture, it's the dead of winter, and you've got all of your best, like, snow gear. You got your jacket that's big and warm, and your hat, and your gloves, and your snow pants, and your boots, and your long underwear, and then you've got some of the hand warmer things that you've got in your gloves. You shove some in your boots. You shove some in some other places, and you are just, like, ready to go. You step outside into the cold, and what happens? You don't feel the cold because you've got the stuff keeping you from that. That doesn't mean that the cold isn't there to be felt, just that you don't feel it because you got all the stuff. Sin has a way in our lives to be that sort of layers of coating, hardening our hearts so that we don't feel the things of God. That doesn't mean that God's not present. That doesn't mean that the cold, well, I don't feel the cold, so it's therefore not cold outside. No, you have all the things on, so you don't feel the cold. They're keeping you. They've created a barrier so that you don't feel the cold. Sin creates a barrier around our hearts so that we don't feel the things of God. Perhaps one of the reasons why you don't feel God in your life in the last couple of hours or days or weeks, months, maybe years, that you would say, "I haven't felt God in years." Perhaps your heart has become hardened to the things of God. Perhaps there's something in your life, some sin that has kind of become a casual, comfortable sort of sin that you've just been living with. And it has created this sort of barrier to God's presence in your life. Is there sin in your life that you've grown comfortable with? Is it laziness? Is it envy? Is it lying? Is it gluttony? Is it lust? Is it gossip? Is it pride? And can go on and on. Maybe you can't feel God because you've got some sort of sin in your life that is blocking the reality that he's already there. He's already present. You just can't feel it because your heart has become hardened. Last thing. So maybe we don't feel God because we've over-sensationalized this thing. Maybe we don't feel him because our hearts have just become hardened to the things in the presence of God. And lastly, maybe we don't always feel God because he's trying to draw us closer to himself. Acts chapter 17. "From one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps even reach out for him and find him. One of the great things that I think about our God is that he wants to be found by us. That it's not just this sort of like scavenger hunt where he's like, see if you can find me. But rather that he says, you're going to look for me and you will find me. I will be found by you. It's possible, I wonder, or is it possible? Rather, I'll leave you with that question. Is it possible that we don't always feel God because he wants to draw us closer to himself? That if we always felt him, it would kind of be like, okay, well, there you are, God. Not only will we not need faith, but I'm not sure that I'm really going to try to seek you and try to find you because you're just, I've got all the feels now from you all the time. What happens when you and I, when we go for a while and we don't eat, we get? What happens when you and I go for a while and we don't drink anything, we get? I wonder if there are times in your life when you can think of that you have felt the presence of God, and then there have been longer times when you haven't, and perhaps those seasons of not feeling God have made you want him more. Man, I don't eat, I get hungry, I want some food. Man, I haven't had anything to drink, I'm thirsty, give me something to drink. God, I remember when I had that feeling and that or that experience of your presence, and I haven't had it for a little while. I want that. I want you more. Perhaps God is trying to draw us closer to himself that we might seek him. Remember, we hear Jesus when he tells us to ask and seek and knock. Emptiness makes us ask the question, God, where are you? Desperation makes us try to seek him. God, I'm going to find you. Sometimes the silence of God makes us knock. God is, perhaps we don't always feel God because he's trying to draw us out to himself. He's saying, come find me. Come a little bit closer. Jeremiah 29, if you're taking notes, Jeremiah 29, verses 13 and 14. God speaking when he says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And again, the promise of God when he says, and I will be found by you. We don't serve, God is not inviting us to be in relationship with this elusive God who's just going to keep running away from us. Rather, he's saying, I want to be found by you. I want you to come closer. Maybe you don't feel me right now because I want you to come find me. Come seek me. And so I would invite you to be looking for ways to experience God. And occasionally, it's going to be about the feels. Occasionally, you're going to experience God, you're going to seek him, and you're going to find him, and it's going to move you, believe it or not, it might even move you to close your eyes and raise your hand in worship. Oh, crazy. That when you seek him and you find him, it might move you to tears. Or it might overwhelm you with a sense of just being quiet and still in God's presence. Occasionally that happens. More often than not, it doesn't. And yet, I would encourage you to seek God in your ordinary, simple moments throughout the day. Yesterday, I was thinking about this message, and even just yesterday, there were times when I knew that God was present, but I didn't have the goosebumps. I wasn't moved to tears. One example I can think of, yesterday morning, Ty and I were up before the kids, and we were sitting on the couch having coffee. And I knew that God was present. I didn't have all the tinglies, and we weren't like confessing our undying love for each other. It was just, we're just sitting there on the couch having coffee. Granted, the kids were still asleep, so that was also part of it, right? But it was that moment, right? It was just in that moment, like knowing that God is present. Later in the day, Theodore is playing baseball, and he's at the level in the league where it's coach pitch, right? He gets a couple pitches from the coach, and then if he doesn't hit it, then we put it on a tee. Well, yesterday he had a game, and I had the opportunity, I guess, to be the coach that was the catcher. So, like, the other coach wasn't there, and so, you know, I was like, yeah, I can do that. And so here I am in this moment, the coach is pitching, and I'm the catcher, and my son is up to bat. The earth wasn't shaking, the heavens didn't part, and a dove didn't descend. It was just Theodore was right there, and I'm like, keep your back elbow up. Like, no, swing through it. Don't swing down, swing through it. And I was in that moment realizing that God is there in that moment. No goosebumps, no, just in this ordinary moment. Later in the day, the five of us, our family, was sitting around our dining room table, just having dinner and talking. God was there present in that moment, just a simple, ordinary moment. Just because God is silent does not mean that God is absent. Just because you don't feel him, it doesn't mean that he's not there. And so we're reminded that there are times when maybe we over-sensationalize this thing, or maybe our hearts have become hardened to the things of God, or perhaps even God is trying to draw us closer to himself. But be reminded that we can't believe everything that we feel. Lord, we give you thanks that you are faithful, that you are ever present. And we confess to you that there are times when we miss that, when we fail to be aware of your presence with us. We're thankful that you have created us to be emotional beings, and that you are willing to connect with us on an emotional level. We also pray that you would help us to be reminded that it's not always all about the feels. And so this morning, I pray for those individuals who find themselves perhaps sitting here going, I don't know that I have ever felt the presence of God in my life. I'm not sure that I can think of a time where I can recall any sort of goosebumps or tears or any sort of feeling at all. And so I pray that perhaps that through the power and the movement of your spirit, that you might bring back some sort of memories or recollections that they would go, that you might say, I was there. You remember that? Yeah, that was me. And I was there. And maybe even for those individuals who are trying to find those memories, are trying to think of the times when they might have felt you and there's nothing. Lord, I pray that you might help them to know that even then you were present, just as you are even now. And so we pray that you might make us aware of your presence, that you might do that through the goosebumps and through the tears, but that the majority of the time you don't. And that we might trust that you are still faithful, that your ways are always loving, and that you desire to be found faithful.